Every day, hospitals and health systems are doing some of the most innovative work in America, finding new ways and new partners to collaborate with to advance the health of their communities. The results have been encouraging. Welcome to the American Hospital Association's new podcast series, Just Lead, a series highlighting how hospitals and health systems that have been recognized with AHA awards for innovation, collaboration, and health equity are transforming healthcare for their communities. I'm Tom Hederle with AHA Communications. The annual AHA Dick Davidson Nova Awards recognize the stars of this effort. The awards salute those programs that are helping to address many of our nation's most pressing health challenges while creating healthier communities and increasing well-being for their neighbors. And by the way, the deadline for applications for the 2023 Nova Awards is coming up on November 16th. You can learn more at www.aha.org/nova. One of the five programs recognized with a 2022 Nova Award is The Doorway at Cheshire Medical Center in Keene, New Hampshire. The Doorway specializes in substance use disorder, finding new ways to reach out and treat that vulnerable population. Nelson Hayden leads the program, and Lori Butts Meyer Rose is a clinician at Doorway.
Congratulations on the recognition from the Nova Award, the AHA Nova Awards this year, the Dick Davidson Awards, which are meant to celebrate and recognize examples of great local collaboration to achieve health advancements for the community. So I guess I would start with a general question, and you can, you know, take this in any order, respond in any order you like, but what would you like our listeners to know about the Doorway, how it's set up, how it's different from other substance use disorder approaches? What would you say is really outstanding about it?
So I would start by saying that the Doorway system was created in 2019 by the state of New Hampshire. Nine doorways were created as a means of using federal funds to address opiate addiction. And each of the nine doorways in the state of New Hampshire is unique, and so it's kind of easy for you to see how we'd be different from other substance use disorder treatment because we're different from each other. The Doorway at Cheshire Medical Center has really evolved over the years through our partnership with our community organizations and expanded from being facilitating access to treatment for people with substance use disorders to not only facilitating access to treatment, but providing outpatient treatment, providing bridge therapy. We now are working with county government and providing the treatment services for our local drug court as well. What do you think, Lori?
Yeah, I think that, you know, the need was that when people are faced with either finding treatment for a loved one or finding treatment for themselves, it's always been a difficult process to navigate. For a lot of people, they don't have any clue where to start. And a lot of them will go to their primary care physicians. That, you know, sometimes the primary care physicians aren't, you know, they don't know where to send people. Nelson and I both have a background in residential treatment. So we've both been on the other side, we've been on the receiving end of patients coming in. And the access to treatment has changed dramatically in the last, you know, 3 years. So, you know, we are there, you know, kind of an informational resource. We're there, triage, you know, assessment, referral, and plus the follow through. So we support the whole family because it's not just the patient that's going through this. It's the family that's connected to the patient that's going through this. So, you know, we've been able to kind of change the way people access treatment. We've carved a path and we've eliminated some barriers. We've been able to, you know, give people information and support.
What are some of the specific services that the Doorway offers to patients and families?
We offer individual outpatient treatment. We offer about 8 or 10 individual group type outpatient treatments. We have medically assisted treatment or medically assisted recovery. We have a physician that has two nurses on her staff, as well as a administrative assistant in order to assist with medically assisted recovery through Suboxone, Sublocade, Vivitrol. She also does, we noticed early on that there wasn't sufficient medically monitored withdrawal management in the state of New Hampshire. There was like 36 what we call detox beds in the state of New Hampshire, and they were always full, and you'd have people coming in needing withdrawal assistance. And so our doctor, Dr. Harland, put together a protocol for ambulatory withdrawal management as well, which has been really hugely beneficial, because people with an alcohol use disorder can't get into the residential treatment until they've gone through the withdrawal. So it was a catch-22 that we've been able to solve.
That's terrific. As the program has grown and expanded to, I think you said 9 locations, were you surprised at all by the depth of demand for these services, or did you anticipate that really would be a line out the door for some of these things?
I think we anticipated certainly that there would be, you know, we put out the shingle and people would come. But I don't think we were shocked, but I think we felt that as soon as the word got out, so to speak, that, you know, people would be coming, and they have not proved us wrong. And it's been either by word of mouth, and I think, you know, I know that Nelson has worked really hard on forming a relationship with the hospital, with the ED, which has become, I think in the very beginning, I don't think they kind of knew what we did and weren't entirely sure. We worked really hard on an educational thing. We had kind of dinners where we had doctors come and we met with them and we educated them on what our doctor did. And I think Nelson will agree, we've formulated a really good relationship with the ED. And it's, when I go there, they're like, you know, oh, so good to see you. And because they, you know, once again, it's resources and education and, you know, how do we help these people? What can we do? And now they can pick up the phone and they can say, okay, we have so-and-so in the ED. Can you come see him? And yep, one of us is over there. And there's a discharge plan that's attached to that. And there's some aftercare attached to that. And the doctors can say, okay, this is great. So did we anticipate it? I think on a certain level we did, but I think it never ceases to amaze us how busy we are.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and the thing, Thomas, is also, I don't think that people with substance use disorder are typically treated the way that they're treated at the doorway. I mean, somebody comes in seeking services, they're going to meet with somebody that is caring about their whole body. They're going to do an ASAM evaluation that's going to look at their whole situation, their living situation, their health situation, their mental health situation. They're going to offer them a cup of coffee. They're going to sit in a comfortable office that doesn't have bars on the window and doesn't have cement walls. And one of the things that I've really been amazed about is the amount of people, I mean, addiction is a chronically recurring disease of the brain, and the amount of people that are willing to come back and walk in because they know that they're going to be taken care of and they know that they're going to find a friendly face here has been really different.
How does the doorway approach differ from others in terms of confronting what I would think would be a pretty common problem? And that would just be people who are too shy or embarrassed or hesitant about coming in the door to ask for help in the first place. How do you sort of diffuse maybe some of those emotional blocks that people encounter as they think about reaching out to seek help?
So we do see this a lot. And so like Nelson said, we have a very, I mean, I have a rocking chair in my office that I rock both my children in. So, you know, and that seems to be the favorite seat. But we make it, you know, very much about, look, you know, this is not a treatment facility. You're not, no one's going to tie you up and throw you in the trunk of a car. This is, you know, you're going to come in here and I'm going to offer you a cup of coffee or at the very least a bottle of water. You know, we have really, I think the beautiful thing about our doorway, and I can only speak for mine, is that Nelson and I and Heather and Tracy and Marty, we've all worked really hard to make this a very welcoming atmosphere. No decisions have to be made today. This is simply an opportunity for you to ask questions. That's all I'm going to ask of you. Stay 5 minutes, stay 55 minutes. You know, there's no lock on my door. You can walk at any time. I'll leave the door open. I'll leave the door closed. And nothing says, you know, come in, sit down, rest a while, have a cup of coffee, have a cookie. You know, I mean, there's something brilliant that happens when people just simply eat sit, nosh, talk. And it's a brilliant way to open up a line of conversation. And I can't think of anybody, I mean, not that we haven't had people who have, you know, just literally torn up the paperwork and walked out the door before they even come in. That happens. But they always come back. I think it's the, you know, I actually had somebody ask me, how many times can I come back? How many times can I go to treatment? I said, how many times is it going to take? I don't know. As many times as you need. So we welcome them back. No judgment. Not a punitive atmosphere. And they that's the brilliant thing is if they can come back, they will come back.
It's just a really a testament to your good work and very impressive. If I could shift the conversation just a little bit in direction, the Dick Davidson Nova Awards obviously are, you know, recognize your good work, but they really also recognize the community partnerships that some of the this year's awardees have brought to the game, so to speak. Can you tell me a little bit about who you partnered with and what contributions they've made in terms of getting the program up and running and successful?
Yeah, so I think that we have historically and nationally one of the biggest treatment facilities for people with substance use disorders is the House of Corrections. A lot of people get sober there. And we would rather people got their treatment elsewhere. And we worked very hard. We worked with county government. We worked with the sheriffs. We worked with the police. We worked with fire, all of the first responders. Lori has already mentioned our commitment with the emergency department. And as we worked with these community partners, they began to recognize that, you know, it would be much better to take this individual to the doorway where they're going to get care for whatever substance use disorder they have that is making them involved with the sheriffs or the probation and parole or the police. And they recognize now, 3 years later, actually, just a couple of weeks ago, we had a police officer that's known in town as kind of being one of those police officers. And he drove up at like 5 minutes of five and said, Nelson, can you take a look at this guy and see if you can help him? And that was one of the biggest testaments in our 3 years, because I said, you know, he's never going to bring anyone here. But he did. And so the whole community kind of has really taken a new look at how to address substance use disorders because of the doorway.
That's really, really impressive. Thank you for sharing that story. I'm just wrapping up here. The time has really flown by, but final question, sort of a two-parter, I guess. What have you seen by way of results in the community? And if another organization was looking at your model and thinking, gosh, we'd like to try something like that as well, what kind of advice would you share with a colleague somewhere else who wanted to do something similar?
So when we started this program, part of the initiative coming from the governor's office was he wanted to have a doorway within an hour's drive of everyone's home, because New Hampshire had the third highest opiate deaths per capita of the 50 states. And I looked up this statistic, which I don't look up on a regular basis, but I looked it up about a month ago. And in the last survey, New Hampshire had dropped to 23rd. And so we went from the third highest to the 23rd highest, and we're kind of in the middle of the pack. Cheshire County has actually even done better than our other counties, which is where our doorway is. Nashua and Manchester are still having a difficult time right now. But Cheshire County has become the lowest county per capita. And so that's a little bit of a testament, but the testament that I really like is how many people that we're actually serving. And I remember Lori was there, myself and one other employee in the first month, and we were kind of looking at each other and saying, waiting for the phone to ring, and I'll pick it up, because nobody knew about it. Last month, we had 478 appointments kept. And it's just amazing. I mean, and that's appointments kept. That doesn't include the phone calls, doesn't include the notes only encounters, it doesn't include the calls to get people into treatment. This is actual face to face with a client for an hour. And so for our small little group of clinicians going from, I think the first month we maybe had eight appointments, and it was eight appointments with two individuals. So they each, one guy came six times and one guy came twice or something like that. And now we've got 478 appointments kept. It's just kind of incredible growth over the course of a couple of years.
Well, congratulations on the difference that you're making in the state of New Hampshire, and the creativity and innovation really behind this approach. It just sounds wonderful and something that that I think everybody could, you know, learn from. So thank you again so much for spending some time with us on this Advancing Health podcast this afternoon, and good luck with your continued work. And thanks again.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you.